A New Future, written by Wandering Jedi Historian and read by Corey Cathonia. Rated for teen and up audiences, and no archive warnings apply. For the fandom of Star Wars prequel trilogy, and the relationship of Jango Fett, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Miles the Mandalorian. Featuring the additional tags of Alternate Universe, Mandalore Jango Fett, Pantoran Miles, Jedi Watchman Obi-Wan Kenobi, Aftermath of Death Watch Attacks, Unexpected Adoption, and Mandalorian Culture. When Jango asked him to accompany him and Miles on a tour of the sites that Death Watch had attacked, Obi-Wan didn't even consider refusing. He needed to show that he, and as a result the Jedi Order and the Republic, stood with Jango. The hospital looked as he expected it to. He'd seen war-torn worlds before, and the damaged hospital could have been on any one of them. Even with their Beskar Gam muting their Force presences, Obi-Wan could feel the anger radiating from Jango, Miles, and the true Mandalorians who had accompanied them. "This is why we have to stop them," Jango said, voice hard as the Beskar he wore. "They will just do this everywhere they go if we don't."
Mutters of agreement from the crowd met his words. The people were rallying behind their Mandalore even more than before. In attacking hospitals and orphanages, Death Watch had finally gone too far. No Mandalorian could stand back while attacks like that occurred. Jango turned to address the crowd. He gave a speech that was as motivating as anything Obi-Wan had ever heard from a trained public speaker. This wasn't someone paid to stand in front of cameras and be convincing. This was a leader forged on battlefields starting far too young. A leader who didn't want other children to suffer the losses he had. Jango wanted better for Mandalore, and Obi-Wan could only imagine that Jaster, looking on from the Kara, was proud of his son.
"Our disunity has always been our biggest disadvantage," Jango said as he ended his speech. "That ends now. Together, we will forge a new future for Mandalore."
The crowd cheered, and Obi-Wan couldn't help the way his own blood raced at Jango's speech. "Next stop is the orphanage," Miles advised as they reboarded the transport. There are still some children there, as one of the buildings had only minimal damage and has already been repaired. Obi-Wan frowned.
"Wouldn't moving them have made more sense? It had to be traumatic," he pointed out.
Miles hesitated, and Jango sighed heavily.
"Orphans don't tend to stay orphans long on Mandalore," Jango reminded him. "So there aren't actually that many on the planet. And this one, it's one of only two equipped for babies and toddlers."
Suddenly, Obi-Wan understood the undercurrent of pure rage he'd felt from all the true Mandalorians every time the topic had come up.
"I see," he said softly.
Miles and Jango nodded solemnly.
"They've found homes for three of the little ones since the attack," Miles offered. "But for two of them, they're still trying to locate family members who are currently off-world. The others, they're still looking for families for them." Obi-Wan didn't know what to say to that, so he kept quiet. The trip to the next city didn't take long. They stepped out into the late morning light, and Obi-Wan had to take a deep breath. He was a Jedi, so he had to be acutely aware of his weaknesses. After Melita Dawn, when he was younger, orphan children were a very touchy spot for him. He knew that and needed to not let himself be caught off guard by any of what he saw. The orphanage was run by a green female Twi'lek and her Kaffar husband. Obi-Wan only knew a handful of Kaffar clan markings, but the ones the man possessed didn't match any of them. His skin was darker than Obi-Wan's own, but not as dark as Jango's. The Twi'lek came up to greet them.
"Mandalore,
"We are honored by your visit," she said. "I am Jilju. That is my husband, Cortovel."
Django nodded in reply. "Children are the future," he replied. "I had to come."
The Kaffar joined them. "Allow us to show you around," he said. Miles issued a few orders to the other True Mandalorians with them, and then the three of them followed the couple inside. Obi-Wan noticed it almost immediately.
"Mandalore," he said quietly, "one of the little ones is Force-sensitive."
The Twi'lek closed her eyes.
"Arend," she whispered.
Miles cocked his head to the side.
"That's a Pantoran name," he said.
Jilju nodded.
"Arend Raim. His parents joined the True Mandalorians as adults. Neither had family on Mandalore. He was only a few months old when they were killed in a speeder crash. We've had reason to suspect that he was Kara-touched, despite him being so young. It's made it difficult to find him a home. Very few babies remain with us more than a month. He's been here nearly 4, she explained.
Django turned to Obi-Wan. "How can one so young show that they are Kara-touched?" he asked.
Obi-Wan considered how best to explain.
"They are too young to actively act on things, at least intentionally," he began. "But they are absorbing stimuli a non-sensitive child would not. Is he particularly attuned to your moods? Does he seem to know when another child is going to cry before they start? Is he crawling? If so, does he move faster than a baby of his age should be able to?"
Eyes wide, Jilju nodded.
"He also... it's like he projects what he wants at us, rather than crying some of the time. Is that even possible?" she asked. "And if he's the one that starts crying, it seems like the others start. Which isn't unusual, but it's so much worse when he starts than if one of the others do. If that even makes any sense."
Obi-Wan smiled gently.
"It does," he assured. "All of those are very common things with Force-sensitive babies. They are some of the first ways a parent or caregiver tends to know the child is Force-sensitive. Can you show me to him?"
Jilju nodded again and led the way.
"And there have been times we would have sworn that he moved a toy closer to him," she added.
The Jedi laughed.
"That will probably continue for the rest of his life," he admitted.
"Even Jedi use the Force to call things to us at times. It's especially handy in a fight."
Miles and Django shared a long look. The little one's eyes locked onto Obi-Wan as soon as he entered the room.
"Hello there," the Jedi said as he stepped close to the baby's crib.
Arend looked at him with wide golden eyes.
"Yes, little one," Obi-Wan said soothingly. "I'm like you."
Jilju came up to stand beside him.
"You can pick him up," she offered.
Smiling, Obi-Wan carefully lifted the baby out of the crib. Arend's little hand grabbed hold of his tunic and wouldn't let go. Reaching out, Obi-Wan gently brushed Arend's mind with his. The little one relaxed in his arms, and Obi-Wan cuddled him a little closer, gently stroking the baby's soft blue hair.
"The world is a loud place at times, isn't it?" he said softly to the child. "Don't worry. Shields will help with that."
He looked up to see Django and Miles staring at him with soft eyes and matching looks that he would almost call longing. Miles leaned close to Django, and the pair had a hushed conversation. Smiling softly, Django nodded. Miles practically beamed at him.
"We'll adopt him," Miles declared.
Jilju and Corto smiled.
"That's wonderful news," Jilju declared.
Corto nodded. "I'll handle the paperwork to process him out of our care," he said, and immediately headed for the office. Obi-Wan was astonished at how quickly a Mandalorian adoption could happen. He wondered if that was normal, if it was merely because no one was going to question the Mandalore and his Pantoran husband about adopting a Pantoran orphan. "I can help with his Force abilities," Obi-Wan promised. Jango and Miles smiled widely.
"We hoped you'd say that," Miles replied.
Obi-Wan carefully handed Arend over to Miles. The little one fussed at first, but Obi-Wan sent a wave of calm through the Force, and he settled. "Arend, Ni-Kartel, Gai Sayat," Miles said softly before pressing a kiss to the top of the baby's head. Jango placed a gentle hand on the little one's back. "Arend, Ni-Kartel, Gai Sayat," Jango repeated. Warmth practically radiated from them, and Obi-Wan could sense Arend relaxing more and more. He knew without a doubt that the little one would be very loved, and he would do what he could as Arend's teacher. "What family name will you give him?" Corto asked, stepping back into the room with the datapad in hand. Jango and Miles shared a look for a moment.
"Fett. Clan Fett. House Muriel," Jango replied.
Miles had chosen to take Jango's clan name when they married. It only made sense for them to give their son that name, too. If, as an adult, Arend wanted to use the family name of his birth, that would be his choice to make. They finished the tour, and Corto and Jilju packed the belongings that Arend had come to the orphanage with.
"We wish you all the best," Jilju said, smiling widely as they left.
Her sincerity was clear in the Force. She was genuinely glad that Arend had found a family. It made Obi-Wan smile. As they boarded the transport to return to Cal Dabe, Obi-Wan thought over the events of the day. He was fairly sure none of them had anticipated it going quite like this. The end.